Welcome back to the Connector Study podcast series, where we explore the experiences of doing ethnographic fieldwork with children in three different cities. My name is Dr. Melissa Nolas. I'm a senior lecturer in sociology based at Goldsmiths, University of London, and the principal investigator of the Connector Study. I also carried out the fieldwork in London. Today's episode is the fourth in a series of six podcasts. In this podcast, together with my fantastic colleagues, Dr. Vinorasan Araldos and Dr. Christos Varvandakis, both research fellow on the project who carried out the ethnographic fieldwork in Hyderabad and Athens respectively, we reflect on our experiences of sampling. Finding children and families to take part in our study was probably one of the more challenging aspects of the research. We were asking for a long-term commitment of 3 years, as well as the opportunity to spend time with children and families during largely leisure time, a short commodity in family city life, as it turns out. In this podcast, we discuss the sampling process and the work that went into constructing the sample in the Connector Study, an ethnographic study with children, exploring the relationship between childhood and public life over a three-year period.
Well, what's your take on sampling? How did you do? How did you find the children for our research? How did you recruit them for our research?
Yeah, so we often get asked about sampling and how we recruited the children for the study. And I think that's probably, and we've discussed it a lot amongst ourselves, that's, I think, probably one of the hardest things that we had to do in terms of the research. The full sampling took about 9 months to a year to complete. It wasn't until about 12 months into the fieldwork that we had our actual, what we now call a full sample of 45 children and their families across the three cities. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably worth saying that originally when the proposal was written, the proposal had been for 100 children and families to be part of the study. And as we sort of got into, so we sampled and did field work at the same time. So as we found children for the study, we then started to conduct the field work with them. And what we realised, probably about 3 or 4 months into the process of recruiting children and families to the study, at that point, I think we probably maybe had about 6 or 7 families that we were working with each, that if we were going to work multimodally with children in as much depth as we were, and at this point we were visiting children once a month, once every 6 weeks, spending a minimum of 2 hours with them, in some cases the entire day, we realised that actually it would be absolutely impossible on the resources that we have, meaning the three of us, to work with 100 children in the same way. And so we took a decision as a team to reduce that number to 50, and then we ended up with 45 children, which I think was the wise decision. So that's in terms of kind of thinking of the sampling broadly. And then the actual recruiting was an interesting process. I'll speak a little bit about London. Maybe you can chip in as relevant in Athens and Hyderabad. In London and actually across the three cities, we thought, well, actually, you know, let's approach schools. Let's approach primary schools. This is probably a good place to recruit children. With that thinking, I spent about 3 months in London trying to get children in schools in Hackney and in Hampstead recruited into the study. And I'll just do a small parenthesis here that originally we'd also thought in terms of sampling of the city, that we'd choose specific areas in the city where we knew that there was rapid social change. And that is also a form of sampling. And there it also became apparent very quickly that if we were to remain in these two areas or in very specific areas, we weren't tapping into our full network across the city, and we weren't going to get a kind of a broader picture of these, of the three cities. So anyway, so I spent 3 months trying to get heads of school on the phone in Hackney to no avail. And that's having used in some cases, quite influential people in the education system to introduce me to heads of school. And that didn't work. So I started using word of mouth. I advertised the study online. I then started tapping into other professional networks across the city from having done research in London for over 10 years. And that sort of pushed things along as well. And then in February of half term in 2015, I created a questionnaire, which was a kind of legitimate way to approach strangers out in public. And I went down to the South Bank on one of the half term days and it was full of families. It also happened to be a bright, sunny winter day, and I think that did make a difference because people were outside, people were quite happy to be approached by a stranger. And I gave out, I think I did about 15 questionnaires, and that gave me an opportunity to then talk to parents. I approached parents who looked like they had kids in the age group. So, yeah, the age group that I was interested in. And that allowed me to legitimately approach them and to tell them a bit more about the study. And I was able to recruit 3 families in one afternoon from different areas of London, very different families who all just happened to be at the South Bank that afternoon and who were willing to take a punt on a complete stranger. And then I also, through various contacts in social services, but also in charities, I was able to then fill the rest of the sample. Yeah, so word of mouth, going out on the street, and then prior sort of professional contacts. And that still resulted in what's quite a diverse sample in London, heterogeneous, lots of different experiences coming into the study. And one where we, once our colleague Robin sort of put all the cases into Inviva and we were able to map them in more bureaucratic terms in terms of area and the different demographics of the area and the different demographics of the family, it's still in kind of objective criteria, if you like, it's still a diverse sample. So that's been very interesting in terms of finding or discovering, you know, what it's like to recruit in a big city to study that was quite intensive, big time commitment from families. We're asking for 3 years. We're asking to be part of their lives in different ways. Mm. Yeah, I think that's probably the first things that come to mind in terms of sampling.
Yes, yes, great. Pretty similar, not exactly. In Athens, it was more difficult to get to schools straight from the beginning. We needed a different kind of an ethical clearance that would go through the Ministry of Education in Greece, and which we decided not to do, however, so we couldn't directly approach, officially and directly approach, public schools at least, which somehow, I don't know, in retrospect, it worked also pretty well in the way of having escaped also more authoritative access to children to be part of the sample. At the time, it was difficult not having this option. Now, in retrospect, I think I'm happy that we didn't, actually. I think that it's fine. Otherwise, yes, there was unofficially through teachers in schools, working in schools or in kindergartens, or something I tried, word of mouth more than anything else. I actually worked in Athens. It was complicated always. It was complicated for the reasons that Melissa just said. I mean, you go to a family that you have never met before, to a parent or both parents, and you start a discussion about, hi, can I hang out with your child for the next 3 years or so? Or, it's not the easiest thing. And we also had many discussions about parents' anxieties and what this means and what this attempt of contact by a stranger means in a big city, and given the whole, you know, often parenting madness about how, who to trust, what is dangerous, what is not dangerous, and so on. I must have spoken to so many people in this process, to so many people, either people like I would consider, let's say, gatekeepers or contacts or parts of a network that would lead me to people, who, you know, families that I have never met before, so to say, and I was trying to do that. Also, as the sample was being completed little by little, there was the extra, let's say, anxiety of the diversity that Melissa noted before. I mean, when you start, you know, you're going to have 15 families and you realize that in the first 8, you have basically 7 girls in one boy. So you need to be more targeted, which makes it more complicated. Mm-hmm. And when you're thinking about the diversity in socioeconomic background of the families that you're also recruiting in there, or you're thinking about the neighborhoods, once we decided that we're going to go for different neighborhoods in the city. I remember one evening having, in the morning, having met the parents of one girl who have responded positively. They gave me a call. Okay, you can meet us in our office. At that time, I went there, I met them. They were both lawyers and they were both looking at every line in the agreement and the consent form and all the papers I had with me, and it felt kind of an interrogation almost, like, you know, being there and listening to them in a lawyer's office and under bright white lights. And I left thinking, okay, that was great that I did it. I did such things anyway, but it's great that I did it, but I'm not sure that, you know, that's the case. And then in the evening, I was at a friend's place and I received a phone call like 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the evening. And it was the father and told me, "Hi, Christo, hi. Here's my daughter. She wants to say something to you." And he handed her the phone. So it was her who said, "Hi, I want to be part of this research." It felt brilliant. I mean, it was one of these moments, you know, that you think, yes, yes,
yes. Worth it.
Yes. I think we had similar experiences also. What about you?
It's almost similar, actually, in terms of the school, of course. The biggest challenge for me, actually, is that Hyderabad is totally new for me when I went for my research. So I didn't know about any places within Hyderabad. So I hardly have any knowledge about the demography of Hyderabad. But slowly, of course, I get accustomed to the city. Then initially, of course, we approached schools. And there was unproductive initially. So most of the schools we approached, international schools, some private schools, I don't know for what reasons, they're a bit scared to allow the researchers getting recruited through the schools. And even strangely, in some other schools, they didn't even like to see us, actually. So they just actually sent a message to the secretary of the principal or someone else saying that actually he's too busy or she's too busy, not having time to meet you. So that is how actually, no, we got the response from schools. Mm. But interestingly, we recruited a couple of children in our research through government schools. Of course, government schools, usually we see them as quite bureaucratic. So without official letters, you can't enter into schools or get time to talk to the headmasters. But luckily, we got a couple of samples from government schools who's in the slums, no, so-called poor areas in disadvantaged locations. And we used other means as well. Of course, you know, being new to the city, I relied on my professional network and people, my colleagues in CES, where I was based at. So I spoke with people, I put a word to them. So through my contacts, I spread the message. Similarly, I contacted NGOs as well. So I got a couple of recruitments through NGOs. We approached quite a few NGOs in the beginning, so and they guided us to get into the communities or get contacts with the key informants, at least, or the key people within the neighborhood. And they helped us to find a couple of families, especially in Old City, for instance, and in other slum as well. The interesting thing for me, actually, the unusual thing actually is once actually we went for a social event as well. We went for a family event, the entire apartment block, people from the entire apartment block gathered. So it was like, you know, it's a strange feeling. It's like going for a fishing kind of thing. You know? So you're just looking for, you are unaware of, you know? So, and we just interacted with so many kids within the, you know, in the party, in the function, and eventually got one girl for our research. That was quite unusual, because attending social event and talking to people. And that's how it happened in Hyderabad. And we got some samples through Snowball as well, through word of mouth. Mm-hmm. From one family, and they referred another family through their networks and through the. So that is how it happened in Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. And as I said, the composition of the sample, of course, we were mindful of the heterogeneity, not keeping the heterogeneity in mind when we recruited. But strangely, we ended up with 9 girls, not the more girls, almost 2/3 of our sample. So representing girls than boys. Mm. And a couple of families dropped out from our Hyderabad sample as well. That's quite unfortunate, but in a way, actually, it's quite expected as well. In a disheartening way, actually, our first recruitment itself actually dropped out after a couple of visits. That was quite disheartening. But anyhow, actually, we just managed to pull off the strings. Mm. And we ended up with 12 families in Hyderabad. And the spread is actually quite, it's wide, actually. Initially, when we were thinking of sampling, we wanted to take families within 3 kilometers radius from CES. But we just ended up spreading our radius and the reach. Mm-hmm. And that was, in a sense, it has practical implications as well, because it consumes a lot of time for traveling, for commuting. Mm-hmm. So every time when you go and come back, especially in a city like Hyderabad, the traffic is too much and it Yeah, we ended up doing it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something, and I remember we had lots of conversations as to whether we should stay in specific locations in the cities or go pan kind of city. And I think I know it made our lives much harder in terms of traveling, in terms of access, in terms of time. But I think in retrospect, it was the right decision to make because it feels that, you know, we can say that this is the study of children in Athens,
yes,
in London, in Hyderabad. Whereas I did feel very uneasy about the initial advice that we'd had about sampling in very specific areas. And I think then you would have had to say this is the story of the area, not of the city. I mean, even, okay, fine, it's still limited in terms of mm-hmm. the city, but we do have very, very different neighbourhoods in all of the three.
Yes, and this is an understanding that we also gathered along as yes. we were proceeding, as we were understanding the particular yes. neighbourhoods through the
yeah.
research. Another issue that connects to sampling was the issue of age.
Okay.
Right, and yeah. shall we discuss about age, because this is also something.
Yes, that, yes, yes, yeah.
And sibling as well, isn't it? You used.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
We got a couple of siblings as well as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is this strange realization that we had in Athens during the exhibition that we had not written anywhere the age of the children of the study. In all the panels we had there, in all the exhibition catalogue perhaps mm-hmm. also not, we didn't mention, and we were asked again and again by people, okay, but how old were the children? Mm-hmm. So this made us think about it a lot, about why didn't we mention, why did it escape us, why wasn't it there?
You yes, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely, because I wrote the panels and... And it was to my utter mortification when I realised that there really was no mention of age on what is probably the most public documents that we've created. Mm. And, you know, very understandably, people were quite perplexed going, how old are these children? Mm. And this is not the only time in presentations I often forget to say how old the children are. I'm sure in the book proposal we've just written, it was a minor detail that was hidden and brought out by one of the informal reviewers saying you might want to say a little bit more strongly how old the children are, because of course that's an important aspect of the study, in that a lot of the research that's done around participation in politics is done with young people, and possibly maybe with slightly older children, maybe from 8 onwards, but we're actually working, and I'll say it now, with 6-year-olds. So the children were 6, give or take 6 to 18 months when we first started the study. And this is a much younger age group that's not covered in the research. So, you know, why did it become a thing that wasn't a thing for us? I think part of the reason is because we're not teachers, we're not doctors, we're not social workers. Working in a social work context, and all of these contexts that occurs to me are very much structured with very rigid age boundaries. So it does really matter whether you're 5.5, 6 in a school context when you go and see the doctor. I mean, if you think of growth charts, for instance, you know, young children often plotted against growth charts and standardized kind of measurements to see how they fare in relation to a kind of average. But we're very much working from a theoretical perspective of everyday life. A lot of the theories we've ended up using are rooted in phenomenology. We're interested in people's lived experience. And so in that sense, you know, how old a child is beyond the idea that they were born around the financial crisis becomes somewhat irrelevant, I think, to the way that we're working. And that's probably the only reason kind of I can think of in terms of why this quite significant piece of information has been missed out in public representations of the study.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think this is something that we also learned along the way. It's also something that we became conscious of. When we started, we were also like trying to think of what month should we have been born
yes.
to, up to
yes.
what month.
Yes. Right?
It was something that in the surrounding discourse, both in theory as well as in discussions with people we had in the university or around the university, it was something that was complete, always being brought up, like how old, how old, how old.
Yes.
We gave up our fixation with this strict categorization mm-hmm. of stages, which very much connect to developmental understandings of what childhood is. Mm. And this is, as we realize, this is pretty much the opposite of what we're doing. I mean, this is not what we were interested at.
Yes.
And for sure, we are not interested at in the kind of comment or responses that you get when you do say, you know, for example, in Athens, to a parent, that a member of the general public that asks, okay, how old was the girl who said that? 7. Wow, and she was 7 and she says something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, okay. You only say this when you know her age.
Yes.
If she was 8, would it be different? Or if she was 6? Actually, and why?
Yes.
Look at what she says for first.
Exactly.
Forget about it. Yeah.
And in fact, some of the comments and what we did in the exhibition was to do a selection of quotes around some of our themes, so public and private. And we led the kind of what is public life with one of the quotes from a boy in London who says, and this resonates with us theoretically, public life, I know what that is. I can't quite tell you though. And I think that's a beautiful articulation. And does it matter that he was 6.5, 7? Mm-hmm. There's a few other things I wondered in terms of the sampling. So just a couple of reflections, and Vinarasan, you've picked up on this in terms of dropout rates. So one of the things, yes, we have had a couple of
families
drop out from Hyderabad, one family in Athens. In London, I had one family who dropped out after 2.5 years. They didn't want to do the second round of biographical interviews. But in a sense, we've been quite, and I think we can say that, sort of quite successful in terms of retaining families on the study. And I wondered if we might sort of reflect a little bit on that and why that might be.
I think it has to do a lot with with the relationships that we developed with the families, right? The fact that we were open to relationships that would go beyond the professional roles and the roles of the informant and the researcher. I think this played a role. I mean, we had an ongoing, as we have mentioned in a couple of examples and a couple of occasions also in these discussions now. It was the relation beyond that.
Mm.
Also, however, there was a kind of trust in what we are doing as we were going along and as the children, but also the parents were understanding what is, and also we were understanding what it is that we are doing. I think that there was both a kind of an evolving trust as well as a curiosity also.
Yes.
Like where will it go? How will it go on?
I also feel that actually children started enjoying being part of the project, and that made them to feel comfortable for being with us during our research visits, and they started enjoying being with us, and they started asking when are we coming next time. So, and they started feeling that they've been part of the project. They started owning the project. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, actually, it's very important. So that's the key element of sustaining this relationship. And because every year when we went back, so we asked them whether they wanted to be part of the project, sort of a renewal kind of thing. So they still wanted to be part of the project, and they continued this relationship and the journey with us for 3 years. So that's quite amazing.
I completely agree with you. And I think enjoyment has a lot to do with it. I think also more recently we've started talking about the study as being partly more kind of traditional ethnography, albeit multimodal, but also involving a lot of cultural work. And I remember in London, for instance, a lot of fascination from the very beginning from a number of the children about the public exhibition at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so a kind of thinking of us more in the long term, as well as enjoying it, as well as the good relationships, but wanting to be part of that process. And I remember one child in particular being quite tough in terms of, so, and this is very, very beginning, I think it was probably the first or second visit. So on my time horizon, the actual intricacies and details of the exhibition didn't even feature in my thinking at this point. And he was asking me, so where are we going to have this exhibition? And how is it going to look? And what are we going to do for it? And when am I meeting the other children? And so there's a kind of, you know, there was a thing, I think, that they felt part of. And perhaps, I mean, we might think of the study as a kind of childhood publics that we sort of created and the children were part of. But I think that might also have something to do with the retention.
Just going back to the discussion on age, Melissa, I'm just thinking actually, what is that, Jenny Morrow's article on decentering age? Age itself, actually, it has a lot of connotations in the Western context because of this developmental paradigm, I guess, but whereas in other contexts, actually, it has less relevant. But as you said, actually, because of the schools, and since this is institutionalized, the age becomes more relevant in the knowledge discourse than in real life, when we meet families and children.
I think it's also probably important to say in terms of sampling, and again, I think this links to retention, is that a lot of the families that we had on the study were families that were volunteers, where parents had a track history, a history or biography of volunteering, of getting involved in school issues, community issues, and being quite active. And I think, yes, we do have a heterogeneous sample, but if there is something in common amongst at least the families as represented by the parents, is the activity of kind of being generally quite interested in social issues. And so you talk about them being curious about what we were doing, mm-hmm. as well as our own curiosity to work out what we're doing. But I think a lot of them were quite invested in the ideas that the study is trying to tap into.
You have been listening to the fourth of six podcasts produced by the Connector Study team, where team members Vinarasan Araldos, Christos Varvantakis and me, Melissa Nolas, discuss our experiences of sampling for an ethnographic study with children in three different cities. You can find the rest of our podcast series on our website at childhoodpublics.org.